I invite you now to stand as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel lesson, which comes from the gospel according to Luke, reading from the 14th chapter. Now, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and Jesus turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath day that you have called us together to worship you. And we thank you for your holy word. And we ask now that as your word is proclaimed, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, in the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, in the words of my mouth, that they might be acceptable and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. In Luke's telling of the good news about Jesus Christ, in his narrative, the story tends to be building up to a climax. Throughout that gospel story, we see that Jesus, the opposition against Jesus, continues to grow. But the other thing that continues to grow is the crowds. The crowds, as we read through Luke's gospel, are larger and larger. And in today's gospel, it seems that there is a very large crowd that is gathered there following Jesus. And Jesus turns and looks to this crowd, and he realizes that they are probably oblivious to what his ministry is all about. They have become almost a sea of people who are just following for the entertainment, for the miracles, perhaps for the teaching, but they don't really know what it is that Jesus is all about. They're not really sure about this man who has his face set to Jerusalem and face to the inevitable fate of death upon a cross. The growing crowds are evidence of Jesus' growing popularity. But for Jesus, it's never about the quantity of followers. It's never about the number of people that are following him. For Jesus, it's always about the sense of quality, the sense of commitment. Can people really follow him to the end? And he realizes that this crowd that has grown over the months, that they aren't really serious about following as disciples. They're more happy just being present as the crowd. In truth, following Jesus is serious business, and it requires much more than just an initial attraction or a casual interest. To truly be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple, requires commitment. It requires hard work. It requires a cost. Jesus turns and faces that crowd. And you can almost hear him say, "Do you people have any clue what you're getting into? Do you really know the cost of following me?" Jesus doesn't in any way sugarcoat his words. Jesus doesn't give it a politically correct spin so that more and more people will accept his message. He simply tells it as it is. If you want to follow me, there's certain things that have to happen. There's certain things that you must do. There's a commitment you must make. You have to love your family less than you love me. You have to love your family less than you love God. You need to be willing to sacrifice, to endure the shame of the cross or persecution. You need to know that that's part of the cost, Jesus says, of following me. And you need to care a lot less about all your possessions, all your precious possessions. if you really want to be more than a crowd with that initial spark of excitement and enthusiasm, there's three things you have to do. Love me more than anything else, be willing to endure persecution, and give up your possessions. This is a very hard teaching of Jesus, and for most of us, we'd rather not hear that. We'd rather not hear that there's a cost to following Jesus. It's a lot easier to just be part of a crowd, but truly, there's a commitment to being more than the crowd. You can always almost imagine as Jesus addresses this crowd that those along the fringes, those along the edges, start to slink away. They really don't want to be any more than a crowd. You can imagine some of them even mumbling, "This is not what I signed up for. I don't want to follow Jesus if that's the cost." And if we really were to acknowledge the truth that probably many of those folks in the crowd didn't really have what it took to be a faithful disciple of Jesus. And so the crowd, from that point on, continues to be a smaller crowd, because those hangers-on, those who were just there for the entertainment, can't take that journey to Calvary and to the cross. That gospel lesson begs the question for each and every one of us: would we stay or would we go? Would we stay or would we go? Do we have what it takes? Do we, when we examine our own lives, when we look at our depth of commitment, when we start to count the cost and think about where our priorities are, can we stay the course? Can we stay the course and truly follow Christ? Or is Christ just truly asking way too much of us? It really is hard to let go of our creature comforts. We avoid sacrifice and pain at all cost. Jesus can't really mean that we need to let go of family and possessions and risk persecution. Too often, we tend to avoid this difficult teaching and pretend that merely as one of the crowd, we really are disciples without a total lack of commitment or discipline. It's interesting that often the church in general, tends to dismiss this teaching as well. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, an influential German theologian during the World War II, in his book Cost of Discipleship, said this: "Cheap grace is grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living incarnate. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a person will gladly go and sell all that he has. It's costly because it costs the person their life, and it's grace because it gives a person the only true life." Jesus calls us not to cheap grace, but to costly grace. Following Jesus has a cost. Bishop Will Willimon, while he was chapel at Duke University, once told this story. "I'm told that a pastor of a very large church, has removed the cross from their sanctuary, because in the pastor's words, we find that the cross is an impediment, a turnoff, that it gets in the way of our attempt to reach people with the gospel." Willimon goes on to say, "What on earth could be the gospel that they are attempting to preach? If this is true, then it's a good example of our dangerous willingness to reach the world at any cost. Trouble is, if the world ever gives us a hearing, we find that we have lost anything significant to say to the world that the world could not hear as easily some other place. Why bother with a church if the church offers a salvation no different from that which is offered by any other helpful social service agency? If the church doesn't ask a commitment from us, then the church is practicing cheap grace rather than seeking the costly grace." It's easy to take the easy path. Jesus does not just offer us whatever we want. There's a responsibility in following Jesus. Preaching cheap grace and there is no acknowledgement that the sacrifice of the cross is central to what we believe does not do Jesus Christ any justice. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's a need for commitment. You may never have heard of Bartolo Di Giovanni, but he was a person who knew commitment. You may not be familiar with his name. In his own time, he was an important sculptor. Today, he is all but forgotten, except that he had a pupil whose name was Michelangelo. Michelangelo was only 14 years old when he came to Giovanni. It was apparent, however, that this young man was enormously gifted. Giovanni knew that gifted people are often tempted to coast rather than to grow. Therefore, he was persistent in seeking to instill in young Michelangelo a desire to give himself completely to his work. One day, he came into the studio and found Michelangelo toying with a piece of sculpture far beneath his ability. Giovanni grabbed a hammer, stomped across the room, and smashed the work into tiny pieces, shouting as he did that, "Michelangelo, talent is cheap. Dedication is costly. Talent is cheap. Dedication is costly." Jesus looked at that crowd who had probably left home to follow him, and he realized that they did not have that sense of dedication. They probably could not pay the price of following Jesus to the cross. In the passage that John read for us from the prophet Jeremiah, the crowds in his day have gone down the wrong path. They were trusting in their immoral leaders. They were putting all their trust in foreign powers and in the military, and they thought that their leaders and these foreign powers could save them from the threat of Assyria. They had forgotten to put their trust instead in God and to live righteous life. And the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. Jeremiah hears the word of the Lord, and he goes down to the potter's house. And as he watched the potter at work, creating beautiful pieces and practical pieces of pottery, again, he realizes that the potter can just as easily take that piece of clay, smash it back down, and start all over. He can destroy what started and begin again to create something new. And the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah again in a mighty way. And God says to Jeremiah, just as the potter can remake this piece of pottery, so too can God remake the people of Israel. But the people of Israel have a choice. They have a choice, and that choice will have a cost. They can either give up their evil ways and follow me and listen to my word, or they continue to travel that wrong path, that dangerous path. The choice is up to them. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah, it's as if saying that God has the prerogative to shape the nation's future according to the people's choice. They can either follow a path of righteousness or the path of evil. They can decide to listen to God or to reject God. Now, if you know the story of the nation of Israel, they rejected God. And the divine potter did remake them. The divine potter at that moment remade the nation of Israel into the exiles of Babylon because they failed to trust God. They failed to pay the price. They failed to count the cost. Righteousness would have gotten them a different path, perhaps a different day. It's true, the people of Jeremiah's day, the crowds that were following Jesus, and even us here today, we are all faced with a choice. Will we trust in God, trust in God's plan? Can we say yes to God, even knowing that there's a risk, that there's a cost involved? Will we make the choice to take the easy way, just to be part of the crowd? Or will we make the commitment to trust in the path that might be more difficult and is usually less traveled? We each have to answer that question for ourselves. But before we answer too quickly, we need to remember that Christ has already traveled that path before us, and Christ has promised that he would never leave us alone. God is always there with us, even on those more difficult days of hard choices, and even when the cost seems too great. We can never make the choice of being committed to Christ without God's help. For God will truly never desert us, even if the way seems impossible. I want to close this morning with a part of a devotional reading from Disciplines, and this is Ken Ramsey writing. I had a math teacher once who gave us an extremely difficult problem. He instructed us to use all the resources available to solve it. We looked in our books, we consulted one another. No one could do it. Finally, he told us that we had not used all the resources available. When we protested that we had, he said, "You did not ask me to help you. You did not ask me to help you." That very room contained all the help we needed. We may feel inadequate to be disciples. However, the greatest resource for bringing to completion what we have started is Jesus himself. If we will follow wholeheartedly, he will show us the way to follow through. As we count the cost, let us never forget the one whom we can count on the most to see us through to the finish. Following Christ requires a commitment. It enacts a cost, but God is there to help us through. Amen. Our response this morning.